Bringing hope to the hopeless, faith to the faithless, and love to the broken, everyone is welcome at the Revival Center, located at 1609 Tommy Webb Drive, Meridian, Mississippi. Just come as you are. For the next 30 minutes, get ready to be ministered to and touched by an anointed man of God, Brother Charles Pierce.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. How many of you know he'll take you through the fire? Hallelujah. He'll bring you through it. Hallelujah. I've heard him say, you know, he won't bring you to it if he won't bring you through it. I like that. That's the way I depend on the Lord, to make sure that he sees us through the things that we have to go through in this life. Hallelujah. He is a wonderful, wonderful Savior. I'm so glad that I know him today. And more important than that, I'm glad he knows who I am. Thinking about, you know, we travel a lot. People travel here and there. And, you know, sometimes when you're traveling, you don't have much time in a reaction situation just to say, oh, Lord, Lord Jesus. You know, people run over you these days if you're not careful out there. They got places to go, and they're in a lot bigger hurry than you are sometimes. You have to know that the Lord's there with you, and he's walking with you every step of the way. Hallelujah. Again, it's just so good for us to be here. We appreciate the Pierces thinking of us and asking us to come down, and we look forward to coming back when they're here and having service with all of y'all. You may be seated. You don't have to stand at the moment. I'm not a long-winded preacher, so you can say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for the first Sunday of the year. You don't have to endure that. Somebody said, I heard somebody preach an hour and a half the other night, and I thought, I'm glad that was last year, because I won't know who that is. I won't get around them too much. If you can't say what you need to say in the name of Jesus in a little while, then, you know, that's a little long for me, but I'm so glad that Jesus still speaks to his people. Here as we go into this new year, I was thinking about that. I've been thinking about that a lot as we go forward in this new year. I want you to ask yourself today, are you expecting the unexpected? You think about that just a little bit. Are you expecting the unexpected as we go forth in this new year? And I'm not talking about bad stuff, because these days we don't know what's around the next corner. We don't know. We don't know what's happening in this world. We just get bits and pieces of it, and it makes us shake our head, and we think, well, I've heard it all. No, you really hadn't. You think you have, but the next thing you hear, you're like, shake your head, brother. Like, what? Where did that come from? It's just that the Lord is still in control. But I'm telling you, when he kicked Satan out, now he booted him pretty good, and he fell down to this earth, he's been around a long time. He's been around a long time. And I often tell, and Brother Jones and I were talking about it last night, the thing about it is, Satan is, I don't even know how old he may be, millions of years old. We don't know how long he was in heaven before he was kicked out. But he's been down here a long time. And if you think you're going to trick Satan, or if you think you're going to outsmart him without the power of the Holy Ghost, in your 70, 80, 90, or 100 years down here, you are bad mistaken. You were bad mistaken, because he knows every trick in the book, and some that hadn't been written down, because he used them on people all the time. And it's the same way. We have to put our faith and trust in God. We have to make sure that he's the one that is going to provide when we got to have something. They sung about the miracles, and I thought about that, you know, that the miracles that the Lord did while he was here, and he's still able to do today. It's not him, it's us. We got to get ourselves in the right mindset, in the prayerful mode, into seeking him. And when faith reaches out to him, he responds. He always has. When he walked this earth, he did it. He looked upon them. His heart went out. They felt that. And, you know, I thought about the man, you know, at the well. Been there 30 years. Jesus' ministry wasn't but 3.5 years. But there he was, right there in front of him. He said, I got nobody to put me in the water. He said, well, the great I am is standing right here before you. Yeah, you don't need to get in the water. I can take care of this situation. And he did it just like that. He just raised him up. And the same way with all the other miracles that we read about. I was thinking about here in St. John chapter 11, really the whole chapter. It's not put here by accident. This is for our edification, for us to learn something from. Jesus is walking. He's teaching, teaching in different parts of Galilee and traveling around. And we find here that Mary and Martha's brother Lazarus has come down sick. You know the story. You've heard the story of Lazarus and all the things that go along with that. And they sent for Jesus because he loved them. Every time he came through Bethany, that's where he was eating supper. That's where he called it home, I guess, his second home. He stopped in there. He broke bread with them, blessed them, you know. And so there was something there that reached out to him when he heard this. The Bible says, now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. I'll get out there in a minute. And it was Mary that had anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair. So that was that Mary that had blessed him, had anointed him, really for his burial. I mean, when you think about it, the anointing was upon him, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore, his sister sent it to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. You know, that touched Jesus. It said when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but, I love when there's a but in there, when the Lord throws that in there, when Scripture throws it in there, it means something good's coming. Something good's coming. He said, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. He said, some good's going to come out of this. It don't look good at the moment, but there's something good going to come out of it. And we live our lives by that. We cannot live by sight. We walk by faith. Well, you know, Jesus said you got to see further. You got to see with the spiritual eyes. You got to get past what you can see with the natural eye, because you know and I know we get in situations that don't look good. It don't look like there's a happy ending at the end of this. I mean, it looks sad. It looks like it's not going to. But God said, hey, wait a minute now. This is going to be for my glory. And you're going to know that the only way this turned out good, it came from above. It came from above. And that's what Jesus was saying. And Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. He went on to say, and when he heard therefore he was sick, he stayed around two more days. Now, you know, I've been married long enough. We've been married a few years. Yeah, if I went out of town and I was through with my conference and I stayed a couple extra days for no reason, my wife would probably be calling me. Yeah, where you at? What's going on? I didn't know you were staying two extra days. Well, don't you know if they'd had a phone, they'd been burning it up to Jesus? Where you at? Where you at? Where you at? We waiting. We waiting here. Lazarus is waiting. But Jesus knew what he was doing. And after a couple of days, he told his disciples, he said, we need to go to Judea again. We got to go back. We got to go back. So I want you to understand that when we expect something, we look forward to it. We expect it to happen, an occurrence, whatever it is. When your birthday rolls around, whether you like it or not, it's an occurrence. You can say, I don't expect that. Well, you need to, because it's coming, ready or not. Just kind of like the new year, and, you know, all the holidays that roll along. But the unexpected is that which is not expected. Hear what I'm saying now? Are you expecting the unexpected in this coming year? Because that's where your mindset needs to be. You need to be thinking about what God can do by faith and you looking forward, not what you maybe expect, but God answers in the unexpected sometimes. He answers in that unexpected way. Right? You know, when was the last time you came to God's house? And when you come to God's house, you need to be expecting something. I mean, that's the reason you get out of bed and you get out and you put on clothes and you come on out. You know, when sometimes you just say, boy, I'd just like to sit at home today. But you're here. You're here. You know why? Because you came expecting something from the house of God. You know, when we get to the house of God, we expect the teachers to teach and preachers to preach and musicians to play and singers to sing. We expect all that because that's what happens when we come to church. And we also should expect God to open up the windows of heaven and pour us out a blessing we cannot contain. That's what should be coming down. That ought to be, and then when we get something unexpected, we shouldn't be like, well, where'd that come from? We know where it came from. The Bible says all good gifts, yeah, they're coming down from above. Yeah, that's where it came from. We know where it came from. And that's what Jesus was trying to get across to us here. He was trying to say, you know, we've got to come expecting God to do something. It's not just a social gathering. We come together and say hi to each other and shake each other's hand and see you next week. No, we need to come with an expectation in our mind that said, God, I'm going through these doors and I'm expecting you to do something in my life, my family's life, my children's life, you know, anybody, my friends, my neighbors, whoever, I'm expecting something good to come from you today. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I expect the Lord to show up when we show up. He said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am. There I'm in the midst. Hey, let me tell you, I've always said this, that the best equation there is your situation plus Jesus is going to equal what? A great outcome. That's the greatest equation. Now, I've studied math, and I know there's a lot of good equations out there, Brother Jones. But the best one is when Jesus gets in the middle of it. When Jesus gets in the middle of it, everything seems to work out after the equal sign. It all looked pretty good to me when Jesus is involved. You know what's wrong with people these days? They don't get Jesus involved quick enough. It's like we said, we try to do it on our own. Well, I can take care of that. I got my ideas. You got to let God get in the middle of that. You got to move over a little bit. You're sitting there like this, blocking God off. Listen, my dad was a great basketball player, and they always called him the biggest little man they ever saw because he wasn't much taller than me, you know, playing. But he could keep a man away from the basketball goal because he knew what to do with these wings. Yeah, it takes a pretty tough man to get around somebody when you like this. And that's what we do to God sometimes. We get blocked out. We're blocking out. Yeah, we're saying, well, oh, God, wait a minute. Stay back there. Oh, wait a minute, God. You stay back there. I'll take care of this. No, you need to put them elbows down, and you need to let God have his way. You need to let him do what he needs to do in that situation. Don't bring it to an altar and pray and cry over it and then pick it up and carry it back home with you. That's not the way it works. You bring it and you lay it on the altar and you pray and you say, God, I've gone as far as I can go with this. It's yours. And you get up and you put your faith in the Lord and you walk away from it. And you let God take care of that situation. Let God do what God do. You know, what he does. Let him do what he does. That's what the song was singing about. Let him do what he's going to do in your situation today. Hallelujah. When we have come together, we should be expecting. We should expect the unexpected. Because God's ways are above our ways. Woo! He don't need us to figure out what he needs to do. He's been doing a lot longer than anybody can ever think about. He's been coming on the scene. Same situation here with Lazarus. You know, was he too late, 2 days late? No, I don't believe he was 2 days late. He was right on time. He was right on time. Nothing like the song said, he wasn't 2 days late. No, but Mary and Martha, you know, he came to him and he's like, you're too late. You ever told God you're too late? We live in a drive-thru. We're like, come on, put the food out the window, Lord. I want it right now. What do you mean don't have no chicken? It's a chicken place. You know? Come on, how hard is it? And we take that mentality and put it on the Lord. Come on, Lord. Right now, I need it yesterday. But God's ways are above our ways. His timeline don't look nothing like our timeline. There's nothing like it. Time doesn't mean that much to him. And one day there's going to be time no more. You know, we have to go punch a clock, or we have to go, you know, be on the job, or we have to meet somebody at a certain time. We're conscious of what time it is, and oh yeah, you know, I got to get on. Not God. No. Because you know why? Because it's not an emergency to God. Because whatever the situation is, when he gets there, going to be okay. He's going to take care of it. People may say he's late. They said he was late. Mary might say, oh, Lord, if you'd have just came 2 days ago, everything would be okay. We done wrapped him up and put him in a tomb, and it's too late. And Jesus is looking at him like, really? Really? You think I'm late? He said, I done told my disciples this is all for a reason. There's a reason behind what seems insane to you. There's things that happen in our life that seems crazy to us, and we're like, but God says, that was my plan all along. That was my plan. I was just working my plan. And let me tell you, in this world today, in the United States, all that's going on, all the things we're facing, God's just working his plan. You don't need to worry about it. You don't need to get upset about it. You just need to let it go and let God work his plan. Because nothing you say or do is going to change a thing with God. And his word's going to be final. It's going, you know, every dot, every tittle, everything the book says is going to come to pass. All the prophecies that went forth, all that, it's going to go, it's going to come. It's going to come to pass. And nothing's going to slip by God. He knows everything. He feels time and space and everywhere that there is, in places we can't even see. With the strongest telescope there is, we can't reach out far enough to know where God is. And when we come to understand that, we think our problem is too big for God. Oh, no. No way. Nothing we do is too big for God. So Mary and Martha, they know Jesus could have healed him if he'd been there. She knew that whatsoever he asked in his name, he could do it, you know, and it just seemed a little out of place. It seemed like what was expected didn't happen. But what was unexpected is fixing to happen. And Jesus is there for the unexpected. He's like, some things are going to change right now. Y'all fixing to see something right now. And that's what happened. As the story goes, you know, they didn't expect Jesus to raise him from the dead. They didn't expect when they rolled away the stone that Lazarus was going to come stumbling out of there. That was the unexpected, okay? Nobody believed that. Look, you can't tell me one person there beside Jesus knew what was fixing to happen. They were like, "What?" They said, roll the stone away. Oh, Lord, you sure? It's going to be stanky up in there when they roll that away. He's been dead and wrapped up. Nobody wants to open that door. He's going to say, roll it away. Something's got to be done. And he did it. And he did it. He did the miracle. He's still a miracle working God today. It's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. That means no matter what you got going, you need to get taken care of this coming year as we've stepped into it. It can be done. Whether you expect it or you get the unexpected, God can still take care of it. He can still take care of it. You just got to have the faith. You got to have that reaching out to him. He loves to feel that. Listen, when he walked this earth and he traveled around the Sea of Galilee and all around the different countries thereabouts and around Israel, he would run across people and he could feel it tugging at him. The woman with the issue of blood, now she touched the hem of his garment. But even she had that 12 years and used everything she had. That was before Jesus' ministry even started, okay? Way before. He was still building tables, you know, for Joseph. She had this problem. But Jesus knew about it. Yeah. He knew that Lazarus was going to die on this day. And he knew it. There's a miracle coming down. That dusty road, like those songs say. It's a miracle coming, and it's the same way. Here's another one, Matthew 20. Jesus hears a person, people are calling to him, needing a miracle. It said, as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him, and behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, out on the side of the road there that he was traveling. When they heard, you know, you got to hear the word of God, and you got to let that faith reach out. They heard. Blind men now, they hadn't seen nothing, but they heard, and they had heard what people were saying about Jesus in the area and what he was doing. When they heard that Jesus passed by, they cried out. Listen, they couldn't see, but their voices were working good. They cried out. And that, I don't believe they were just saying, "Oh, Jesus, 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 where are you? Where are you? Over here, Lord." No, they was crying out. They were crying out. He said, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of God, thou Son of David," he said. And the multitude rebuked them and said, they should hold their peace. You need to be quiet over there. Lord's coming by. And they said, "We know. That's the reason we're hollering so loud. We want to get the Lord's attention." And they cried the more, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son." And Jesus stood still. He stopped the procession, okay? All right, people all around, just like there always was, looking for a miracle or something. He stopped and he called me. He said, "You two over there, what will it that you would have me to do for you today?" Can you imagine? Now, what if Jesus was here and he was saying, "What can I do for you today, brother? What can I do for you today, sister?" Just think about that. Now, they didn't see Jesus point at them. They didn't, but they knew in their hearts he was talking to them. Because faith was going, that faith was just reaching out to Jesus. And Jesus couldn't walk by that much faith. He knew they believed what his ministry was doing for his people. And they said, "Lord, that our eyes may be opened." So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. He didn't just do it. He went over. He touched their eyes. And immediately their eyes received sight and they followed him. Hear that? Immediately. It wasn't something that took 2 or 3 days and had blurry vision. They went from no seeing to perfect vision. Because that's what God does. That's what he does. He don't halfway do something. When God steps in, like I said, when he gets in that equation, you're going to get the perfect answer, the perfect ending, the perfect whatever you need for your life today. He just wants somebody to cry out to him. He is just wanting somebody to reach out to him and look at him and understand that he is almighty. He's not some gray-haired, grandfatherly, on a walking stick trying to get around like we get around sometimes. He is almighty, all-powerful. He is everything all wrapped in one. And he can answer that way from heaven just with his spoken word. Just a thought. Look, he spoke the world into existence. Anybody believe that? Anybody believe he spoke this world? Are you still in the Big Bang? Well, it was a Big Bang when God's voice anchored, it rolled across the void and things started happening. Yeah, it was a Big Bang going on, all right. People don't believe what they want to, but he spoke the world into existence. Just like one day he's going to say, "That's enough. I've seen enough. I'm ready to take my bride home to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb." And that's where you want to be. You want to be there. Now, you can tell, Brother John, now we like to eat. But there's nothing down here that can compare to what God's got waiting on us up there. And I want to go see it. And I believe we can go. All of us can go see it. Because he said, "For whosoever will, let him come. Let him come." That's what he's looking for today. He's looking for people that are humble themselves. And they'll come to him. Call out to him. Cry out to him. Let him know what your problem is. He already knows. But he wants to hear you say it. He wants to hear you say what you need from him going into 2025. He wants to hear it. He wants to say, "What was that? What was that you would like for me to do? You want something unexpected to happen in your life? Call out to me. Call out to me. And I can make it happen." He can make it happen. Hallelujah. We're living by faith. We're all living by faith. We don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know, what's ahead of us in this life. But I'm glad that we know who Jesus is. Because he knows it all. He knows it all. Hallelujah. God is just so much further. Like I said, he created this universe. Our telescopes, that man-made stuff, can only reach so far. And they're like, we know there's something else out there, but we cannot see it. Do you know, if to get to the nearest star, I believe it is, the nearest star to our galaxy is the Proxima Centauri. 25 trillion miles away. That's over the hill and through the dale. Yeah. Yeah. That's back down the holler there. That's a good ways. 25 trillion miles away. I don't even know what trillion is. You know, it wouldn't be anything for the USS Enterprise at warp speed. Yeah, you know, or on Star Wars, they could get there pretty quick, you know, on hyperdrive, whatever. But that don't work. You know, for us, it would take a lifetime. It would take your whole life. If you got on a spaceship that we have that could get there with enough fuel, it'd take your whole lifetime. You'd be 85 years old, and you say, well, we made it. And then you'd die. Right there, you know, right there. You're looking at it. There it is. It took you your whole life. That's how, but God's even further than that. That's how big our God is. I just want you to get a grasp of it. Don't think your problem, and I know it's big, and it looked like a mountain, like this mountain behind me. It looked like a mountain. And you think, oh, God, it'll never happen. God said, boom, there it is. He can do it just like that. He said, you know, I can move a mountain out of your way. I can just move it out of the way. You don't have to worry about it no more. I'm saying, move it, Lord. Move it, Lord. Let it go. I'm ready to let go of it. I'm tired of hugging this mountain. He told the children of Israel, he said, you've been around this mountain too many times. It's time to go to the promised land. Yeah, we need to go on over to the promised land. We've circled this wilderness and this mountain too long. We need to step over. You know how they did it? By faith. They said, okay, Lord, I know there's some giants over in that land. They got some big old grapes over there too. Let's go. Let's go. The Lord said, you don't have to worry about the giants. Like Brother John was saying, I take care of the giants. You just go eat the milk and honey that flows over there. Yeah, that's what we get. The Lord gets the giants, we get the milk and honey. I like it. It's a good deal. Yeah, if you can negotiate that, that's a good deal. You take care of the giant, Lord, I'm going to be over here eating the milk and honey. You got any biscuits? You got any manna? I can use a little manna right now for this honey. It's the best deal going. I want you to understand that today. I want you to think about it going forward. As we come to the close of this service, I want you to think about what God is doing, what he has done, and what he's going to do. I don't want you pulling back. This is a year to drive forward. Don't slow down. Listen, we are driving forward. We're pushing forward because the Lord is coming from the other direction and he wants to meet us. And we've got to be a powerful church when we leave this world. We're not going to be struggling and just barely making it. That's not what God has for his children. He wants us to be full of the Holy Ghost. He wants to have power that is flowing out of us. He wants us to be reaching up with all that we have to receive what he has for his children. And he said, it may not look good, but I'm going to make a way. I'm going to make a way where there seems to be no way. You're not going to see it, but you're going to know God did it. God did it. When he rolled away that stone and Lazarus come out of there, God did that. The Spirit of God rose him from the dead. They said, take that barrel wrapping off him. He ain't going to need that. This was just to prove a point that my God that I answer to is able to overcome even death. Jesus looked at it and he's like, yeah, I'm going to have to go through that one day. Yeah. Jesus looked at him and he said, yeah, Lazarus, you beat me to the tomb. He said, but I'm going to be there and I'm coming out too one day. Aren't you glad? You better be glad. Jesus rose from the grave. You better be glad that he has made a way for you to have life and have it more abundantly. Not just, yeah, we're going to have abundant life when we get to the other side. But he said, you can have it here too. You can have that abundant life right now if you want it. Don't let the devil drub you down and keep you in the pits. You rise above that. You get your eyes a little bit higher in this new year as you go forth in 2025. You look a little bit higher. Look a little higher. And you see what God is able to do in your life and by your faith.
You have been listening to Pastor Charles Pierce of the Revival Center, located at 1609 Tommy Webb Drive, Meridian, Mississippi. Pastor Pierce and the Revival Center would like to invite you to attend service Sundays at 2 p.m., Tuesday prayer at 10 a.m., and Wednesday night at 7 p.m., or contact us at 601-693-9879, or go to www.kingdompeace.org.